From the studios of WHQR Wilmington, this is Coastline, WHQR's weekly talk show, featuring local guests, plus your Thursday questions and comments via calls and email. I'm Cleve Callison, sitting in today for Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And you're in for a real treat on today's show because our guest is New York Times bestselling author and columnist Celia Rivenbark. If you've lived in Wilmington or many southern cities for a while, you certainly will know Celia. And even if you're one of those Yankees, you may have enjoyed many of her books about life, manners, and mores of the South and beyond. And her titles alone will give you the flavor of what to expect. Stop Dressing Your Daughter Like a Skank and Rude Bitches Make Me Tired. So it's a Celia show today. In the next hour, we'll talk about her career, her books, her play, her column, and the new direction it's taken. We know that there are plenty of Celia fans out there, and we want you to participate in today's show. So this is the show for you. The number to call is 910-343-1138, or you can send an email to coastline@whqr.org, and we'll try to get your comment or your question on the air. So I welcome our audience to join in our Thursday conversation for this next hour. Do you have questions or comments for Celia? Have you seen the new play? Have you read any of her books? What do you think of her columns? What else would you like to ask her? So now's your chance, 910-343-1138. Celia, welcome. I've been wanting to have you as a guest for a long time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And I had a special treat today, which you'll be able to see a little bit later on on our website. Celia came in with a gift for me, which was a T-shirt.
I made it myself.
You made it yourself. It's a T-shirt that says Satan's Minion, because you know that we once had a letter that I read on Friday Feedback accusing me of being a minion of Satan.
Right, so. And I ran out of letters when I was making the T-shirt, so I shortened it to Satan's Minion, but the thought is still there.
It's still there. Well, Celia, I'm so happy to have you here with us on this show.
Thank you.
And I think we've got a lot of things that we can talk about today. But I want to start with your new play, because that's kind of a big deal right now, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is. Yeah, it's very exciting. The thing about the play is, last winter, I think December, Zach Hanner told me, hey, I'm super busy. He's adapted my other books into plays,
right.
I think four times before. Wonderful job. But he was really slammed. He does many things and does them all beautifully. And he said, would you like to take a shot at writing this summer's play? And I said, sure, you know, because I work like an old newspaper person, very much under deadline. I figured if it was due to him in March, I would start it like, you know, April 25th.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really translate when you're writing a whole play.
Yeah.
So along about February, I started getting a little nervous. And then Zach would shoot me emails saying, how's it coming? How's it coming? I'm like, well, it's not. You know, I'll get to it eventually.
Don't tell me you had writer's block, or was it just laziness?
No, just laziness.
Oh, okay.
No, not writer's block.
That's a relief.
So what happened was I was like, well, I've never written a play before, but how hard could it be, right? So naive, so stupid.
Piece of cake.
So I got my old play from last year that Zach had adapted. I saw it was 32 pages long. I saw it was single spaced, and I saw the font it was in. So what I did was I saw it was three acts. It had four to six scenes per act. So that's what I did. And when I hit page 32, I put the end.
Now, see, that's real newspaper-y.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Because it's like in radio. You know, we're working with this. It's not how many words, but it's how long it takes to say the words. But in newspaper, you have so many column inches that you have to do.
Exactly. The column, for example, I've written for 1,000 years, it feels like it's always 518 words, not 517, not 519, 518.
Well, it seems a little anal to me, but, you know, if you count it like that, is that what you do?
No, I'm told. That's that.
You're told.
Yes, it has to be 518 words. And so I'm good with that. I love knowing, you know, it's a newspaper in me. That's what I'm saying. So I approached the play in much the same way.
Uh-huh.
Once I saw the format, and then I went back through, you know, this and that. I had been putting together an eighth book. I've been working on that about the lighter side of the sandwich generation. And so I pulled a lot of material from the first.
An eighth book?
Pardon me?
You said an ace book?
No, eighth. The ace
eighth
book.
Book.
That's my
oh, I'm
accent.
Sorry.
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's it.
I don't usually have an accent.
I know. I can't tell.
It was my eighth book coming up, and it's about the sandwich generation. And so what I did was kind of cannibalize, you know, from that book mm-hmm. and use the material in the play.
Can you tell us what the title of this book will be?
No, because I'm still waiting for it to come to me. My titles come to me in dark of night. We're Just Like You, Only Prettier came to me at 3 a.m., woke up with a start, wrote it down on a little notepad beside the bed, went back to sleep. And that title has been my most successful title.
What, you won an award for that title, didn't you, or one title?
Oh, that was Stop Dressing Your Six-Year-Old Like a Skank. Entertainment Weekly said that was the best title, and that's really exciting until you realize they didn't say it was the best book. It's just the best title, so that's a little humbling.
Yeah. Well, some people never get past the title, so, you know, as long as it moves the product off the shelf in the bookstore.
Right, there you go. So true.
Yeah. So you were working on this play, and how did your family feel about that?
Oh, they're fine. They're off doing their own things. Yeah, they're fine.
I did advise them. In your columns.
Yeah, they're used to it. They're great. You know, I advised both of them that they would have prominent roles and that people would actually be playing them, which is something we've never done before. It's always been kind of monologues, four different women, that sort of thing. But this is entirely different. This is a whole new approach. So someone plays Scott, the hubby, and someone plays Sophie. And actually, in this, as we were talking earlier, in the second 4 weeks weekends, my daughter Sophie will play herself in the play. So that'll be fun.
But she has an acting background, right?
She does. She's done a lot of local
so
theater.
So she's not intimidated by the idea of playing herself.
No, no. And Kendall Walker is brilliant as Sophie in the first 4 weeks. She's just – I told Kendall one night after the show, I said, you're more Sophie than Sophie.
Hmm. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I really hope to.
What?
Well, maybe this is not a fair question to ask a writer, but how close to real life are these characterizations of people in the show?
And that's a
are
good
they caricatures? Or
it's
are
a
they,
good question. Yeah. And I would say, if I'm being honest, I would say it is 85% real life experiences that I have had. Mm-hmm. I juice it up a little bit, of course. Some characters are real life people in my family and extended family, and they are friends of mine that have new names, and just for my own personal safety.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to have folks getting too mad at you, but
no, you don't.
You've been faced with that for a while.
I have. Not everybody, you know, likes the direction that the column has taken for about 3 months now. It's more, you know, political. It's on the op-ed page now. And some people have had a really tough time making that adjustment. Really tough.
Well, boy, they're still funny as heck.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I think
forward to reading those.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I really I've been a little surprised at just how rough. So, I mean, some people are just that have been very dear fans. You know, they've bought every book. They've come to book signings. They've come to speeches. They've been very supportive. But, you know, I mean, they literally send me mail that says, you are dead to me, and I have now burned your books in my Weber grill. So there's really no coming back from that.
Yeah. You're listening to Coastline on your public radio station, WHQR. I'm Cleve Callison here with Celia Rivenbark. We'd love to have you be part of this program today, and you can give us a call at 910-343-1138, or you can send us an email to coastline@whqr.org. If you have a question for Celia, or if you're a fan of her columns or her plays now, four, five plays.
Gosh,
that she's
five.
Done.
I guess this is the fifth, yeah.
Or if you have just any question at all for Celia, give us a call, 910-343-1138. 1138. I think we had a call a while ago, but I'm not sure if they stayed on the line.
Uh-oh.
So maybe it's one of those
book burners.
You know, people that,
it's one of the book burners.
has anybody put a little bag full of dog poo and set it on fire on your
not
porch?
Not yet, but you know, I have.
I don't want to give anybody ideas.
Quite right. I've had a lot of what I call "and your little dog too" type emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of that. And I don't want to get the wrong impression. I have had so much support from folks, and I would say that for every – I lost a ton of Facebook friends when I switched gears a bit and started writing about politics. But I've gained way more back. So it's okay. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. And most of your newspapers have stayed with you for that.
Most of them. I'm disappointed in the Fayetteville Observer for bailing, but not to name names.
No. No, but maybe some of our Fayetteville listeners might have
That's
an opinion
a great,
about that.
Yeah, maybe they should call the paper. That's great. Yeah, no, it's and it was tough. The News Observer has run me for many, many years in Raleigh, and I have actually, frankly, that's kind of my base as far as my biggest you know, fan base, if there is such a thing. And they didn't quite know what to do with the column once it switched. And I totally respected that and understood it. And we talked it out. And they have me on the op-ed now. And that's where it should be.
Does every paper that's carrying your column, have they made that sort of
yes,
switch
they
also?
Have. Yes, they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you started, actually, with Myrtle Beach. That mm-hmm. was your first one. You live in Wilmington. So when I first moved here, I just assumed that you started with the Star. But when you were with the Star, you were not a humor columnist, right?
I did some, but I did it just my first humor column was technically, gosh, after the rare winter storm at Wrightsville Beach in 1989. I wrote something I hope was funny. Then there was a long time between humor columns, and mm-hmm. then they gave me, I said, I want to do restaurant reviews, and they said, well, that costs money. How would you like to write one of those funny columns again? And that's how the column was born, because the Star News didn't want to budget for a restaurant reviewer. That, you know, this changes over years, but I was thrilled.
I understand the sentiment there.
I was, right, I get it, and I was thrilled because, of course, that's what I wanted all along, see.
Oh, you didn't want to do the restaurant
Mm-mm,
stuff?
No, I was angling.
We'll explore further adventures in deviousness in this hour with Celia Rivenbark, and we're going to talk on when we come back with Sarah from Wrightsville Beach, and we'll find out what she has to say. If you have a question for Celia Rivenbark, our number is 910-343-1138. Our email address is coastline@whqr.org. We hope to hear from you on this program today. We've got about 40 minutes left. It's 18 minutes past the hour. And we will come back in about 90 seconds or so with part two of the interview with Celia Rivenbark on today's Coastline. Stay tuned.